hospital, so 17 years ago, which came as a junior. And so she did the whole tour, but then, of course, then my husband took her around. And very different comments from what the tour showed and then what the professor took her to. I think the professor bored her.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm Paul Moore of the Regularly Scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning on this beautiful fall day. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on this agenda or really anything you'd like to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come right on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of Resolution 19-39, supporting the name of the new ramp, if it ever gets open, the flyover from I-35 north to westbound US 30. And I think the completely appropriate suggested name is the John B. Atanasoff.
Atanasoff.
Okay. I'll let you guys say that. And I'll handle this one, though. And the Clifford Berry Bridge. Carol, will you come right on up?
Sure. Here. Oh, right there. Have a seat.
Carol, please start by introducing yourself and telling us your relationship to this project.
Okay. My name is Carol Custer. I am director of...
Green light on, Carol.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm Carol Custer.
We want to just make sure we
have that better.
Perfect.
I'm Carol Custer, director of university marketing at Iowa State University. And we have been working with the DOT for the past couple of years to figure out a way for naming the bridge after John Atanasoff and Clifford Berry. The two of them created the world's first electronic digital computer, and most of those things that John Atanasoff thought about are still used in computers today. And we thought this would be a great way to honor one of the most respected professors and graduate students in Iowa State's history.
Outstanding. Yeah, I think a lot of people miss that the first electronic computer was developed right here at Iowa State University. And I keep noticing the pillars that they built look like one of those old cards that you would have...
Yes, like the punch cards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Outstanding.
Carol, how did they decide to pick the flyover ramp to name for the two of them? You know...
The DOT and I had had conversations about those punch cards. And when we talked about that, I said, is there a way to name the bridge? Because I have seen in other cases where there's honorary namings of bridges. And so the DOT referred me to some regulations, and that's how I've made the application. And as part of that application process, I need to submit a letter from the county in which the bridge is located. So that's why this is coming to you.
Sure. I just wondered, I thought it was a great idea. I guess I've never noticed or I've never been places where bridges, flyovers have been named. So that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah, if you notice around the state, every once in a while you'll see a bridge that's been named for someone who has been deceased in a different situation or something that honors them.
Well, let's read this in and get it voted on so that you can go about your day and get this finalized. Resolution 1939, supporting the naming of Ramp H Flyover Bridge, northbound I-35 to westbound US 30, southeast of Ames in Story County, Iowa, the John V. Atanasoff and Clifford Berry Bridge. Whereas a request from Iowa State University has been received asking that the Story County Board of Supervisors consent via resolution of approval and support to name the Ramp H Flyover Bridge, northbound I-35 to westbound U.S. 30, southeast of Ames in Story County, Iowa, the John V. Adanasoff and Clifford Berry Bridge, recognizing that the world's first electronic digital computer, the ABC, was invented by physics and mathematics professor Adanasoff and electrical engineering student Berry on the campus of Iowa State University from 1939 to 1941. And whereas the bridge is in Story County, and whereas the Iowa Department of Transportation requires formal resolution of support to be passed by the County Board of Supervisors, now let it be resolved that the Story County Board of Supervisors gives its support and consent to the renaming of Ramp H Flyover Bridge, northbound I-35, to westbound U.S. 30, John V. Adanasoff and Clifford Berry Bridge. Questions, comments, or a motion?
So, before I make the motion, so we have the ability to provide naming rights to facilities like this?
We just need to support it. DOT handles the naming. They just won't do it without a resolution of support from the county that the bridge is in.
And I move consideration of resolution 1938 supporting the naming of the ramp found on I-35 after Dr. Adanasoff and Clifford Berry to be known as the bridge in their names.
Oh, I
thought
you were saying 1939 instead.
What did I say?
Okay,
yeah, so we've got a motion and a second on resolution 1939, and I won't read it all in again. Further conversation. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work on this. Next, we've got the Veterans Affairs Quarterly Report. Brett and Lynn. Lynn, are you coming up? Or are you going to sit in the audience?
I'm supporting.
Okay.
Now we got to do is build it.
Deb's supporting me.
And we're supporting Deb.
All right. Yeah, I got all my support in the audience.
Brett, how are you this morning?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good. Each of you should have a packet up there of the quarterly report, the fall newsletter. And I gave you another newsletter. However, we kind of worked it over probably about 10 different times, so you got an up-to-date one that's going to print today. Also, the FY18-19 data and the supermarket flyer. So you have all those things. So I'll just kind of run down through here. I added a couple of notes here. Just this morning I added a few things in. I'll just go ahead and cover that last. Looking at the period covered is July 1. To September, of course, and greetings from the Commission of Veterans of the Story County Commission of Veterans Affairs. We had one family come in for burial assistance, which was $1,954. So that's all for county that we assisted with. However, during the quarter, Aaron and I interviewed 240 veterans or surviving spouses for eligibility for federal, state, county, VA benefits. The average was 80 per month. Breakdown of the 240, we had 180 men and 60 women. I did the math twice on that. I wouldn't, you know, I thought, boy, that sure came out pretty even. But 26 were World War II, 33 Korea War, 75 during Vietnam War, 28 served during the Persian Gulf, 18 Cold War or peacetime, 14 Iraq or Afghanistan, and 46 of them were surviving spouses of veterans. Vietnam book issue. During the quarter, we just issued 5 of them, which brings our total to 363 issued books. And currently we have 139 in our inventory, as well as checking around to other counties. They all have plenty of inventory, so the state's not going to order anymore. I think Polk County has 6,000, so if we do run out, we'll just knock on Polk County's door. In addition to that, we do have several duffel bags that's provided to us from Vietnam Veterans of America with new clothes in them. And we've been giving those out to at-risk of being homeless or homeless veterans, as well as several gift cards that were donated to the office for IV, for gas, or for food, basically. Upcoming outreach, our annual Supermarket of Veterans Benefits will be held on Tuesday, November the 13th. And I point out, we've always held it on a Friday, so we're changing the day of the week. It's going to be from 9 to 2 on that day, and we've changed the location to the Plex. So we have two big changes, location and the day of the week. The Plex is located in Ames at 5501 George Washington Carver Avenue. And you have flyers on that with a map on the back. Another thing I wanted to, just to kind of note to you, more on the tax exemption part for the county, and VA organizations have been trying to increase this amount. Well, it's been this amount since 1947. It's $1,852. And so I don't know if there is anything the board could help out with legislation, but this has been something that veterans have been asking for, an increase. And actually, going back to 1947, the average home in Iowa was $18,520, but they didn't say 10%. They put a flat rate on there. And of course, homes have gone up considerable amount. And so it's $1,852 now. We do, however, have 58 that are 100% service connected that property taxes is totally exempt.
Right.
So we have 58 that's actually receiving that. Of course, with the deadline being the 1st of July, next year we're going to have more so like around 65. One we inherited from California that moved here recently, and one from Arizona. So we inherited some 100%ers, but we also lose some too along the way. So I wanted to just kind of inform you a little bit about that. I think all three of you were with us up at Dakin's Lake when we dedicated that on May 28th. Just to let you know, we've already changed the flags out.
Huh.
So there is wind up there.
Yeah.
So Vietnam Veterans of America bought a new American flag and POW flag. Came down the end of September. And so we put these new flags up already, and we'll probably secure them around Veterans Day. Probably keep them up through Veterans Day, or the day after Veterans Day, secure them then. And won't fly them again until in the spring. Newsletter, it's actually going to print today. Give you an idea, 2,840 will be going out in U.S. mail, and that's up from 2,600 from our last one. And then email is 721, and that's up from 600. So it's kind of nice that we're able to increase those. And those also, those numbers actually include going out to service organizations, BVA, VFW, American Legion. I hand deliver some down to Heartland Senior Services. Of course, it's on our website. And I was talking about this at our fall school last week, and I sent it to 98 other counties. That I don't think there's another county doing a newsletter. And so I was telling them how you can do this without even leaving your office, really. It's a pretty turnkey operation. And so a lot of the other counties do have our newsletter via email. So that's kind of exciting to, you know, I mean, it's just a good way. And I started it, I believe, in 2003. I thought, how can I get all this information? You know, go to these schools. How do I get that information out to the veterans? And they're the ones that need the information. So then they can come in and see us, you know, and we can help them out. So it's really been, it's pretty neat to be able to do this. So I thank the board for their support, you know, every year on, you know, giving us the money to do it. But that's what you need, money. And then
who sets the
standards for the newsletter as far as what content goes in it, or do you use the county's communication plan?
Well, I use the commission. Ask them for their inputs. Actually, this time I had input from a past commissioner, Harley Morton, gave me an article. I usually go get the meat and potatoes of it, and then I work with Melanie. She dots the I's and crosses the T's, and so Mel and I basically are working together with one rep at Voice Gritty, which...
Let me tell you where I'm headed here. Maybe that will help. Okay. Some discussion has been up here at the board recently about looks like two of the board members would like to change what pretty much has been understood for a lot of people as communication, and then we have a communication plan about what can be included and what can't. And so I know that Leanne is looking at working on next year's communication plan. Deb and I have spoken about kind of how that would route through before when it comes to the board. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues is, how do you decide to include a commercial or three-party type of information so the board, that will come before the board, whatever the board is, and discuss when the communication plan is for updates. And I noticed even on here you've got several commercial businesses, and I know there was a situation last year, and I think maybe this year you're in dentists are offering some freebies or some whatever. So that's why I was asking. I sure would ask in the future that as we work on this communication plan to take a look at it and provide input on it, because I'm wondering just how is the county going to start to deal with all of this about commercial.
And the basics, I think the basic idea was just anything that would help veterans is what we're mainly, and not too much. I don't think I've ever put an article in there about county VA benefits, but we could include that. But I mainly, talk about federal and state VA benefits.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And different things like that, because those are the ones that bring the dollars into the county, the federal.
I was talking more about what's got to be in our reason.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I would just ask that, as I said, as we start to look at this,
sure.
As I said, the board configuration stays the same. It looks like
Any suggestions to make it better? Yeah.
So I'll just step in and say, Brent, I think you and the commission have done a fantastic job putting together a newsletter, longstanding newsletter. And I was interested to hear you point out today we seem to be the only county Veterans Affairs that's putting out a newsletter like this. And so I want to make sure you leave here with our thanks and appreciation for what you're doing for the veterans.
Yeah, as far as I know, the other 90, there isn't any other county doing this.
I told you before. Yeah. That I really appreciate it, like it, how it's laid out, whatever. It's more of a particular area of concentration.
Yep. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's the numbers I'm looking at. Now, I gave you those numbers that are going out. Okay, these are veterans that we know of.
Exactly.
Now, the VA says we have 4,100. Nobody really knows how many World War II veterans do you have in the county? How many surviving spouses or how many veterans? Nobody really knows that answer. So we don't know about the veterans that moved in to the county yesterday. We don't know about the ones that moved out and all of that. So there's quite a deficit there of veterans that we're kind of looking for yet. So maybe we just scratched the surface here, right? And so that kind of leads me into this other idea that we should call it the Mayor Lynn program, because he's the one that came up with it. So our mayor was talking about city halls and mayors, and maybe we could have a little bit of time in a conference room in Zering in the morning and maybe Colo in the afternoon, and the mayors would have it on their agenda like an announcement where they could say Story County VA is going to be right here in your backyard. We're going to be right here downtown Zering we haven't really got that far yet, on a Wednesday, let's just say, from 9 until noon. And maybe we would find some more that way. Or maybe we would find, that's just the beginning of the idea. We might find that we have a shut-in or a housebound veteran in town. we might get that information. So I didn't know what the board would think about this, and we've had a few conversations with the commission. All commission members are on board with it. We had one meeting with Deb and Alyssa, and they're on board with it. I want to see what the board thinks.
Yeah, and so what I would say is, sounds like a great concept. We would just ask that you kind of solidify what the concept is and what any cost we're talking about, what kind of resources other than time we're going to have to put in. But it sounds like a great plan to me. Anything we can do to get more outreach to any of our veterans that don't. I mean, you mentioned Zeri. You've got a great story of a gentleman up in Zeri who is a Vietnam War veteran, has never, ever, ever applied for services, finally just applied here in the last year or so, and is finding it changing his life, right? And
right, yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind there's more of that in Story County if we can figure out how to appropriately get to them. And so any concept you guys come up with, I think the board would be highly interested in hearing what it is. Just make sure you're giving us a solid concept. This is what it would look like. This is how often we'd go out. This is what the cost would, you know, whether you were talking before we started today about the cost of a gallon of coffee. I mean, we need to know those kind of things as we figure it out. But I think it's a great concept.
Yeah, and in talking about this, I think we're, you know, right now I'm about one day a week in nursing home and assisted living and maybe the jail. And so we were looking at, you know, starting this maybe we'd start this one day a week. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'd start it on a Wednesday morning in this town, afternoon in that town, and move it around the county. And when we come to Ames, you know, we have an office in Ames, but we might do Ames at the university. You know, talk to Jason Sequin, get a spot at the university. There's 1,000 veteran students. You know, unfortunately, a lot of those we're seeing when they're seniors. And their benefits started, for, you know, 3 years ago with VA health care. They get 5 years of VA health care, and the clock starts when they step out the door. And we see them when they're a senior. So,
the other one I would suggest for you guys to consider there is make sure that every single advisor and counselor at Iowa State has your information so that as they're talking to these students and they learn that they're a veteran, they can provide them with your contact information. Just something to think about.
Right, right.
Anything else for Brett this morning?
Brett, did I understand that there will be an all-women's flight generated free flight here in Iowa? Did you hear about that, Lynn? You're nodding your head like you heard the same thing.
I don't know if they've got it all put together yet, but they've got less than 30 out of about half an aircraft.
Of just female veterans.
Excellent.
And I think it was out in the Council Bluff, Omaha area or something like that. I just heard it over the weekend. And I thought, now that's a novel approach that you have the ability to build a flight just around a female veteran. So,
Renee and I had talked about that, and maybe we could have done that, but I mean, we were lucky to get six, you know, we would get six to eight maybe females on our flights each time. But that would really be nice.
I would agree with the fact, I think your approach, your instincts are good. You've got a just recently serving mayor who knows how an agenda is built for a community, and the fact that a council would know their community best, and if there's somebody that lies within it, that they can sit there and tell you, oh yeah, if you were to come here, we'd ask that they have to come to there, because you have the ability to co-opt on an outreach basis to the people of the community that you would be visiting, to make the people there aware. You're not necessarily going to walk in on any given day and know who's there, who you need to see, but they would.
Right.
So I think the instincts are good here. I look forward to seeing how to put it together. Cost is going to be something you'd like to hear about, but I think conceptually it's a good thing.
Okay.
I agree with that. I have another question back to the supermarket. Are there still spaces available for vendors and service agencies?
We're trying to keep it to VA agencies. I've had some insurance agencies that would like to come, you know, and even real estate agencies and that kind of thing. We're trying to keep it just to agencies that's not charging veterans, for anything as a free service.
I think you remember I'd asked about HRDA before. HRDA really feels that they would like to be at the table when it got when you got more space. They do serve veterans. It's an agency that comes from an organization of all county supervisors sitting on the board. It's not a for-profit in any way, and they do transport and they offer rides to Des Moines once a week, and they, you know, they're ride available out of the city. So, so that
I'll contact them and see if they would. I think I had them at the last supermarket, kind of at the last.
I haven't heard anything yet that they're going to this one.
I can contact them and see. I'll check to make sure we still have table space, but I think we can find.
If you limited to just those that are entirely free, I don't want to interfere with yours.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about
But HRDA is a good deal, isn't it, for transportation in the...
$2 every way.
You know, so I may see if they can... They would like
whatever
to
you want to do, I'm just asking.
Hey, also, to note that the American Legion Auxiliary in Roland... On Friday, November the 16th, from 5:30 to 7, they're going to have a Veterans Day dinner. It's a free will dinner, and all the proceeds will go to Story County Veterans Affairs, as in gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take the money, go buy some gift cards, and bring them over to the office, and we can get those gift cards to veterans. And also another little community program. Renee Tweet kind of got me into this one, but White Oak Service Station, I guess you'd call it. It's kind of a long story, but there's a housebound veteran lives across the street. Well, when it changed over to White Oak, for some reason the flag went away. So started looking into this, and the corporate didn't want to purchase the flag, but the employees did, because of the veteran that's across the street, looks out his window and would like to see a flag for him. So anyway, the American Legion's donated the flag, Nevada Hardware's donated the hardware and everything else we need, and the reason I'm bringing this up to you is I'm looking for some kind of a vehicle that could get us to the top of this flagpole so we can put the rope around the pulley at the top, which has a cover on it. So I don't know if the county has anything like that.
We don't have a bucket truck.
Or, you know, that's the challenge right now. We got all the parts and pieces. So maybe we'll work with the city of Nevada. Maybe they have something that they're doing the flag, you know, the light poles with or something, and see if we can get this done. So little project Renee and I are working on, and just a little community project there. But another thing I wanted to say is, to talk about the Freedom Flight, we're still able to take veterans. Actually, we have 6 on the next flight, which is May 11th. So what we're doing, we're using the Freedom Flight money to pay for these veterans to go on the Brushy Creek Honor Flight. So that Brushy Creek's going on two a year, May and September. So any veterans you're talking to, Vietnam, World War II, Korea, even Vietnam era, if they want to go, we have the applications in the office and love to get them out there and see their memorials.
Outstanding. Look forward to coming to the Plex and see how you feel, because you overcapacity the Moose.
You bet. Come on out. We invite you.
Ray Reynolds and the fire chief being glad to help out with whatever is needed to get you up to the top of that.
We'll let you guys,
that's an easy conversation.
Yeah. Mayor Lathrop was just mentioning that the fire chief here in Nevada, who always puts his best foot forward, would be happy to help. So we'll reach out to him and see if we can get that flag up.
We can get it done.
Brett, thank you.
All right,
good job.
Thanks a lot.
No minutes this week. Personnel actions, we got one scrivener there to take care of beside Kristen Robinson instead of 3,121.10. It should be 3,121.91. Other than that, 1-9. So now we got a scrivener's error on our scrivener's error.
19
instead of 10.
I would make a motion that we approve as presented with the stated change.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda.
As listed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Public hearing item. Discussion of 5-year lease purchase agreement with a principal of $3,128,860 for 10 motor graders to be used in the secondary roads department within 30 days of this public hearing. And should note that the public always has the right to petition for an election on something like this. Darren, let's start with why we believe this makes sense for the public. Talk about the dollars again that we're saving.
Okay. Well, hold on a second. I was going to bring it up here, but I can just hear
it. Hey, well, while he's bringing it up, I received a call this morning, actually. And there's a gentleman in Gilbert who called to tell me that how much they're appreciating the road and the trail that we've paved. And you know, we've got one low spot in the trail between Gilbert and Ames that any time we get any real water, the water will flow over the spot and leave corn stalks and dirt and everything on the trail. And so this gentleman has taken it upon himself to go out after the water recedes and sweep off the trail. And so the last time we had an event, he went out, and by the time he got there, the trail was already cleaned off. And he thought, well, isn't that great? We got another citizen who's stepping in to do this stuff. And so he started checking around to see who it was so he could thank him, and found out it was none other than our county engineer who's carrying a broom in the back of his vehicle now for just that purpose. And Darren, I'm just telling you, man, that's going above and beyond the call of duty, and it is so, so appreciated. And just know that it's noticed.
Thank
sure.
You.
Thanks.
Sounds like maybe the engineering crew might be thankful. I'll
see
about that. Okay.
No, I was there, and yeah, I can carry a broom. That's part of my wellness program. Took care of it. That trail was getting so much use. That one.
It's been great. I never go up there without seeing
cross country teams out there. Last time I was out there, so yeah, it gets a lot of use. This kind of breaks it down the best on how we're showing the savings here. Our payment is $260 is what we've had for the first 5-year lease section. Over on the right shows our inputs. $655, that's the equity we had in our original, and we split that in half and put half that towards first lease, and we're going to put the second half towards the second lease. The savings comes in here when we're talking about part savings. We assumed about $320,000 in equipment savings for maintenance of those, because more than half of our fleet used to be out of warranty, and expenses really add up. $30,000 to $40,000 repairs were pretty common on one machine. So that was a pretty conservative number. Just looking at, Cat gave us some numbers on what they spent on the first 5 years, which was under warranty, so we didn't pay for that, but it was well over that amount. So that's conservative value on what we're spending on maintenance or saving on maintenance now with the lease program. And then we get a net, this is what we call equity in the machines when we turn them back in. We have a certain buyback that Cat agreed to up front, but they're actually worth more than that. So Ziegler gives us equity about $30,000 per machine back. And then we come up with this, what we call an equipment fund at the end of the 5 year that we plan to put back in for the next 5 years. And we could use that money to buy them out, because that's the buyout number, to buy them all out and then we own them, or we just roll it into the next lease program. So I kind of explained the updated lease. It kind of went exactly like we thought it would 5 years ago, so that's a good thing. The thing we had to decide on is what two machines we keep out of the 10 to roll it into the next lease. And we decided to keep one of the machines that we actually owned, one of the two spares, because it just had a brand new engine and transmission put in it. And then we're going to keep one of the lease machines. So Cat ran those numbers for us, and that's in the purchase agreement form. So the new lease payment will be $280,413.74. That's up from the 260, and that's all based on the interest rate, which interest rates are going up. We're actually leasing less amount of money than we did the first go-around, because we're reusing our snow equipment, which saved us $30,000 per machine.
So we're actually borrowing less money than we did the first go around. Any other questions? Let's say we have to wait 30 days after the hearing, and that would be November 27th would be the first form, and we could have the actual approval of the lease agreement.
On a peer basis, are there any other counties that you're aware of does this too?
Not the actual lease. They're similar. Jasper County, they outright buy 10 new motor graders every, I think, 5 to 7 years or something. So they don't lease them. They just outright buy them, but you gotta have that money up front, which we didn't have, so the lease seems to work out good for us. But a lot of people have shown interest since we've done it. I haven't heard a lot that have done it. The one thing that I probably heard is if everybody did it, it would flood the market with all those five-year-old machines. If only a few like we were doing it, they have those pretty much sold by the time we turn them in. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is one of the things that I watched it happen on the first iteration. Clearly supported. Now you see, by the way, as it is the fall, you see a lot of farm equipment out there. A lot of that is leased, not owned equipment, too, on a roll basis because the manufacturer owns the problems that happen. So,
yeah, we feel like that 5 years is kind of a sweet spot to turn it back in. They're worth still quite a bit, and they're still technically under a little bit of warranty, so we can get a lot of money out of them at that 5 year point.
Yeah. So, three huge advantages, I believe. The first one is simply cost. I mean, we're saving the taxpayers of Story County roughly $100,000 a year in this program. We're saving a little bit over what it would cost us to buy one new machine every year. Since they're all under warranty, Darren just talked about what we're saving in parts, but we're also, in addition to the hundred-ish thousand dollars a year that we're saving downtime in that these machines generally are not breaking down. Very rarely. When they do break down, they're under warranty, and that's nice. And then finally, by having all of our equipment with the same platform, not some with joysticks and some with a steering wheel, and you know, we have the capability that if somebody's out, we can put somebody else pretty easily in that piece of equipment, and they're not having to make big adjustments. And in those three ways, I think we're coming out way, way ahead by doing this. Our concern was always what it was going to look like at the end of our first 5 year lease. And what we found is, yeah, the cost has gone up a little bit, just like everything, but this is still less than it would cost us to buy one new motor grader in a given year. Then you put the fact that having them all under warranty is a big, big deal.
So, I'd like to point out that when we had the recent Department of Recognition breakfast, bagels, I stayed and I was able to talk to a couple of the crews members that actually worked directly with this equipment, and I heard the same thing from all of them. It's so nice to have all the machines be the same, to be able to drive them and know how they operate. So clearly the crews think that we did the right thing.
Well, the ergonomics of those new machines are incredible. We use two joysticks instead of, they used to have about 20 levers to pull, and that hurt their back leaning over all day, and now it's much easier because you're doing that all day long.
Well, and then the other thing that I don't think we should discount is it's a demonstration that Story County is committed to our employees. We expect them to get out and do a great job for the citizens every single day, but we're going to provide them. We're not asking them to drive a motor grader that's 10 years old and really 4 years past its real, real usable life that's kind of, and I'm overly dramatic here, but duct tape and baling wire together. That doesn't show commitment to our employees. And I think if we're going to reasonably expect that our employees, which they do, go out and do a phenomenal job every day for the citizens, it's reasonable then to expect us to put them in sufficient equipment.
You see it in the fact that live out on those gravel roads where these motor graders get used, and it is always rewarding on a personal level, the fact that roads that never saw white rock this year got white rock for the first time, and I'm thinking, how did we be accounting for so long on the eastern side, and we did not do that, but those days are behind us now. We live in a new time. Mm-hmm. Good on you, Mr. Park, because the thing is, clearly where I go on every given day, I'm traveling on the roads that I have seen and made better, and I think some of the story is the fact that we are putting better equipment out there. we're training our operators to put a better equipment out there. The outcomes are the fact that we're making roads both more passable through more weather conditions and, frankly, safer.
Well, you look at what Darren's done over the last half dozen years or so. We've got the new motor graders. We've gone to the dual axle dump trucks with pods so that we can haul. There you're talking about the wire. We didn't used to have the capability to haul our own rock. Everything was contract. We were spending money to have somebody else hauling it. Now we're spending for our staff time and the fuel and wear and tear to get that done. It makes it a little easier to haul a little more rock. But Darren, what Darren has done, Darren and his entire staff, what they've done with their equipment over the last few years, I think has put Story County in as good a position as it's ever been in terms of where our equipment is. Is that a fair statement?
Very fair, yeah.
Good. Any other questions? We need to open the public hearing and see if anybody wants to address this 5-year lease. All right. We'll open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address the 5-year lease purchase agreement with a principal of $3,128,860 for 10 new motor graders. Anybody wish to do so, come right on up. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing, turn to the board for discussion.
I support this. I feel good about what we're doing here. I think the arguments have been laid out in previous meetings and here.
I have nothing to add to that. I believe this is wisely done. 5 years ago, it would be wise of us to take it up and do it again.
Wasn't an easy decision 5 years ago. It was. Remember that first meeting we went to over in Ames when nobody was doing this? And it was hard to get our mind around getting this done. From my perspective, Darren, it's gone as well as we hoped it was going to go. Would you say something similar?
No, I agree. And like you said, our employees really appreciate it. Thank you for your support.
Absolutely. I take a motion.
Can we do that?
Is it just a discussion? We come back in 30 days? So we're notifying the public. Are we sure about this? Are we sure we don't have to take action? I understand we can't today. That we don't have to take action in order to trigger that 30 days?
No, we just have to hold the hearing.
Okay. And
within 30 days of the hearing. Yes. And that is not even a state code requirement. It's a county requirement for the 30-day part.
Okay.
So that's something we put on ourselves.
Okay. So we held the public hearing. We had no comments from the public. The public now has 30 days to question this decision if they'd like.
All right.
Good? All right. Thank you, everybody. That's it for public hearing items. We don't have additional items, agency reports, departmental reports, or other reports. So we're to public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything you want to comment on. Come on up to the microphone. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, liaison assignments, Loris.
I think I will comment on aging resources that have the monthly meeting for all of the supervisors and then the citizens that are on that board. We have amended the budget already, and I guess that's no big surprise. But in this particular case, we dipped about $30,000 deeper into what is a small reserve pot to start with. And I was the only no vote. Out of the 17, I think, that voted. And once again, I have discomfort with the way the budget is presented because it starts out with showing that already in loss is not balanced. But out of that discussion, even though the motion was to approve the $66,000 in the negative, that the accountant is going to add a line showing that we're pulling from reserves. So going forward, I think it'll be more transparent for the public. They'll be able to track every dollar. And this week, I've got Herta, and we'll still be discussing the cuts and the services that we need to look at there. And then I am at Community and Family Resources on Thursday night. So we'll do the highlights.
Good. Thank you, Marty.
Going to be at Tybee Hall tomorrow all day with Carla Webb, Stacey Sugar, and Tyler Lennon going through my second standing up mental health delivery day in regards to where we put touches on people in different states and different stations. And it is a deep dive, and we do, it's a conversation that was had both there at the table during the day and on follow-ups. I look forward to seeing how basically taking the same group and doing a 2.0. This afternoon, we'll all be over there celebrating a win in mental health delivery in Story County and the region. And the fact that we will be opening our crisis stabilization center, and that is a collaboration that was done with some willing partners, in the sense that the county provided the facility, the region for the most part provided the dollars to do the reconfiguration, and Mary Greeley is going to staff it. Good on. This just shows the value that is witnessed, I think, in the county in regards to improving services to the people most in need. And I it makes me smile because I know we get the background on the day-to-day and realize that this was not an easy process to get to this point, but we will celebrate that success today. Having a CICS, which is our mental health region meeting here Thursday, we will probably be having some robust discussions, as I shared with you some email moving around the background as far as other counties and other regions having hardships. Our story is, as we deliver services in our region as they are delivered in Story County, they are done to a level that is good, going toward better. We have room to improve, certainly, but we have taken it willingly on ourselves, and you're seeing it happen. And today, I use that as a tangible example.
Well, there's always room to improve. What's important to note, Marty, is there has never been a time that more services have been offered in Story County, mental health services have been offered in Story County, to more individuals in Story County. It's a credit to Story County, it's a credit to the region, it's a credit to all the staff members that work so hard on it. As far as the crisis care facility that I'm so excited opens today, so Deb and I remember what that conversation was like. That's been several years coming. Deb and I went over to Mary Greeley and pitched them on this idea 2.5 years ago, and it was not a seamless, it was not a no-brainer that we would just all partner to do this. But Mary Greeley is fully on board. The region now is fully on board. I'm proud that here in Story County, we were the driving force behind creating this and identifying the property that we could use there, the old group home on South Hazel. I think it's a necessary component to our services. We got another conversation today talking about mobile crisis unit over at the sheriff's office. I continue to have regular meetings with all of our regional CEOs from around the state in my role on the state supervisor's exec board as we try to take forward a coherent, cohesive proposal from really three groups, boards of supervisors, the Regional CEOs Association, and County Sheriff's Association, that we can go to the state and really make, instead of all pulling in different directions, really make kind of a collaborative pitch of what needs to happen so that our regions and ultimately our counties can be as successful as possible in delivering mental health services to our residents who need them. Because like you say, Marty, I mean, every society is defined by how it deals with those most in need. And I'm proud of where Story County is, and I'm proud of where I see it going. Anything else for us today? Otherwise, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We just, I think, have a survey.